Blog Talk Radio.
Someone else's fantasy. Not your own dream, not your own reality, but someone else's fantasy. Okay. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Hope everybody is well and blessed. It's been a little while since I've been on the broadcast. I've had some things to do. I can't be at the same place. I can't be in two places at the same time. That's what it boils down to. But the beautiful thing about it is that change is coming. Change is on the way. Due to the dissemination of information, sometimes I'm being even blown away by people that bring things to me. It just lets me know that humankind, I should say, is in an awakening mode, awakening period. And people are starting to receive information, again, through the dissemination of information that is enlightening the minds of mankind. And we can see this in actions and activities throughout the world, and also, like I said, I hear it firsthand. So I'm quite pleased and excited about the changes that are taking place in humanity and throughout humankind. The name of this broadcast today is Bill Cosby, Iran, and the Klan. I figured I'd kind of stretch it out like that because it's a catchy title, but it's kind of the things that are going on right now in the American society. So I didn't want to really leave anything out. I kind of wanted to cover it all and captivate those that would be surfing to find a good program to listen to. Hopefully they can find it here. I've listened to some other broadcasts out there, some atheist broadcasts and things of that nature, and it's just pretty mind-boggling and mind-blowing the concepts and the way that, you know, people think, you know, some, you know, humans think, you know, period. It's kind of one of the type of things that makes you kind of set back and you know, say, do they actually and truly believe what they just said? You know, and do they really believe or not believe in a certain thing? Like I say, some atheist broadcasts, you know, they just don't believe in God. It's pretty amazing, pretty mind-blowing. I even got a pamphlet the other day. And I think it was from a Jehovah's Witness. They kind of They're kind of like little stalkers. They're really funny. If you ask me, they sit outside of convenience stores, and they look at people. And I got to say that they are very judgmental. I must say that, because you pull up in kind of a beat up old vehicle or whatever the case may be, and you're dressed kind of, shabby or shabbily or whatever. They really don't approach you. I think that, and they're typically, nice dressed, like they're going to church, and, pretty nice vehicle and so. So I really truly think it, even in their subconscious, that they kind of scout out people that look like they may have some money or something like that. That'd be, a ideal, if you will, addition to their congregation. I just kind of find that, quite interesting. And they kind of stick to their own color code, if you will. Colors, they very rarely approach someone of another color. And I hopefully I'm going to start. I can, continue to, describe humankind, our human beings, as, different colors, simply because we are different colors. Looking at it from a visual perspective, but again, we are all one people when you look at it from the true perspective, and certainly from the Hollywood, or, the creator or God's perspective. Like I said, it's just an amazing thing, the changes that are coming to pass. Okay, let's see here. I had to write something down. Now, the first thing I have up here is Bill Cosby. We're just going to kind of do this in order. Bill Cosby. This is an interesting dynamic here with Mr. Cosby. And it's quite interesting that he came out and said that, yes, he provided the Quaalude or the 714s or the drugs, for these ladies and stuff like that. And there's a whole lot of things here that kind of leave me in question about this whole thing that's taking place with Mr. Cosby. One thing is that let's look at these incidents, individually, because as all these women, I don't know what the number of, there's quite a few women that, that are claiming, or filing complaints against Mr. Cosby at this particular time. But each and every one of those women had to know where they were going at that day and time. And what I mean by this is that Mr. Cosby did not administer or slip them, if you will, the drug to get them to come to his room or his private quarters. They had to knowingly and willfully come to that location or come to those quarters to meet Mr. Cosby there. It wasn't a situation whereabouts, they were going to an unknown location to meet an unknown individual for whatever unknown reason. These women were very conscious and cognizant of where they were going and who they were going to see at that particular day and time. Now, if we look at the time frame when these women went to Mr. Cosby's quarters to meet him there, I would be willing to wager that the time that they went to visit Mr. Cosby were sometime in the wee hours of the morning. Now, they had to be in a party frame of mind to be drinking, and typically a person wouldn't drink in the middle of an afternoon, okay? So they were in a party time, party spirit, party mode. They knew who they were going to see and so forth and so on, okay? They went to see Mr. Cosby. who at that particular point in time was one of the hottest entertainers in the world, certainly in America, and definitely, and I could dare to say, in the world. Mr. Cosby has accumulated or amassed a great deal, a great sum of money. He is a billionaire on this planet at this particular day and time. Back then, when all of these alleged activities, you know, took place, Bill Cosby was a very wealthy person, a very well-known person, very successful. And it is the typical nature of people to want to be around success or be around successful people. Successful people will ask people, you know, to do certain favors and certain things for them, which, you know, a lot of people will submit to, whether it be a monetary, you know, repayment or payment or something like that, or that particular case, or just to say that they have been, you know, with this individual and that they have done certain acts or certain things with this individual, you know. And certainly Bill Cosby falls, you know, directly into that category, especially, or fell into that category at that particular day and time. Now, any logical thinking representation for Mr. Cosby will certainly pose these questions unto any court that it may, you know, that it may appear in, or he may appear in, as to these, you know, when you, when a woman or a person or individual goes to meet another individual at some time in the morning under some type of, you know, in some type of condition, and it's a one-on-one encounter, there is not too much left to the imagination as to what one would expect to occur under that circumstance. Two adults, a private room, alcohol involved, you know, private from the outside world. Like I told folks over and over and kind of enlightened the minds of people, these women didn't come to Mr. Cosby's room to play tiddlywinks or to play jacks or pickup sticks or something like that, or, you know, play cards or whatever the case may be. They came there with something on their mind, an intent on their mind, given the circumstance and the situation of being one-on-one with a man, or with Bill Cosby. They had intent. One gentleman kind of chimed in back to me, and a friend of mine, he said, shoot, women think about it more than men. And I kind of have to tend to agree with them on that particular regard, but it's human nature to think sexually about one another. And if you're in that condition or that confine, you know, if you will, then certainly that is first and foremost on one's mind. So I'm saying this to say that, you know, this is a form of consent to put yourself in that predicament, in that situation, you know. And now here, you know, years later, of course, you know, screaming foul of screaming, you know, that Mr. Cosby drugged them and all this other kind of stuff. But because when I first heard it, you know, I figured that he had done something. He was involved in some type of sexual activity with these women, sad to say, you know, but again, he was an icon at that particular day and time, and, you know, put himself in that predicament, in that situation, which really is another thing to come to mind, because as much money as Bill Cosby had, he could buy favors. He could pretty much buy anything that he wanted sexually or otherwise, you know, from the most beautiful of women. Just because that's just the power of money and status, you know, being who he is. So why he would have to go through, you know, these particular measures is a little mind-boggling to me, other than he might have wanted to carry out some type of, I don't know, I guess twisted or fetish type of activities in these encounters with these women and stuff that he didn't think that they would, you know, submit to. And the only thing I can think is, you know, photographing the incidents or maybe his performance wasn't that great, you know, or whatever the case, maybe he had something to hide in that regard. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know for a fact that we did at that particular day and time, or would any time, have two consenting adults in that particular scenario. Now, another question that comes to mind for me in this regard is if it was such a violation of these women at that particular day and time, why did they not come forward? Why didn't all these women, you know, come forward and go to law enforcement, go to the police and say, hey, I have just been raped by this man, by Bill Cosby? I think that there may have been one under some type of other circumstance or situation where he paid her some hush money or something like that. I don't know what that was about. I think that there was some type of exchange of money, you know, like $5,000 or something to keep quiet or whatever it is. But anyhow, it worked. The sum of money, you know, kept that individual quiet, because certainly nothing surfaced, you know, 40, 50 years ago in this regard against Mr. Cosby. At least it wasn't really, you know, public knowledge. They suppressed it very well. If there was something that was out there in the media, which, you know, I've never heard it, and no one's ever really said anything, certainly sponsors and people that would go on to create, you know, some of the, you know, Cosby shows and different things where Mr. Cosby was a part of, they didn't, you know, certainly look at or know anything about that incident to deny those, you know, things from happening, or those shows and those speeches and different things that Mr. Cosby was the main character, you know, in whatever was going on. He was greatly supported, respected, you know, and upheld in society to the tune of billions of dollars, to where he's, you know, going on to be a billionaire, you know. So evidently nothing came up to the contrary, to the negative, you know, along the way up until here recent. Which makes me really, you know, really, you know, have questions. Because it's all about consent. You know, they're adults. They're all adults. So there's not an issue or problem there. But it comes down to an issue of consent. And I hope that, you know, somehow, somewhere, Mr. Cosby's, you know, representative will hear, you know, this this message and wage his battle in this manner. Because it's something I haven't heard as yet of today coming out in defense of Mr. Cosby, you know, and I look at things very realistically. Now, can these women, you know, stand after, you know, 40, 50 some years, you know, have gone by, the statute of limitation has expired and all this other kind of stuff, you know, can they stand to make a great sum of money from all the firestorm and stuff that they're creating? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And I mean, if you look at these women and listen to their voices and stuff like that, you can tell, you know, when you look at Janice Dickerson and Heidi Thomas and people like that, you can tell that they are doing this to dig up something from the past for monetary gain, because, you know, they fake they're faking their pain or their anguish, you know, at this particular day and time. And I know a lot of people are going to say, you know, how can you make that statement? You know, what, you wasn't there. So, but, folks, when you look at the circumstances, you know, the time that has elapsed, the consent of two adults going to a private union or a private meeting, the level of player, the status of the player involved in Bill Cosby at that particular day and time, he was very, very, very high. You know, he was very, 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 very successful and sought after in society. He was kind of like the who's who. And who doesn't want to be with the who's who? I mean, that's just human nature for a lot of people. You know, they basically say been there, done that. They can basically, you know, vow that they, you know, say that they've been there and done that type of thing, you know, with this particular individual and so forth and so on. But they kept it so quiet that they didn't even tell their closest colleagues and friends and relatives and associates, because had they done so, we would have heard about this along the way a long time ago, certainly within the statute of limitation. That these alleged acts that took place, which we didn't hear anything. You know, so that right there is, it leans a lot further towards consent. And you know, like he said, you know, one of the hot drugs, you know, back in the day, designer drugs back in that day and time, was the Roar 714 Downers, Quaaludes, as you would call them. That was kind of a hot drug, if you will. And a lot of people, a lot of women, you know, consider that a designer drug. You know, like I said, they knew what they was doing. And after the fact, you know, say, for instance, a day or two after they came to, why didn't they go to the authorities and say, hey, I was with this guy, I was with Bill Cosby, and you know, I think he gave me, slipped something drug type in me, and so they could do some tests to take, draw some blood, and, you know, had, you know, sexual affairs with me and stuff. Women know when they've been, you know, violated or when they've been penetrated. Why didn't they, you know, take it to, you know, the authorities, you know, a few days after the fact? You know, because simply they were pretty much, you know, excited and satisfied or happy that they had been with this guy, you know, been with Bill Cosby. Pretty much, it had to be that way. You know, they talk about feeling ashamed and all this other kind of stuff. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. If you've been violated, if a woman has been violated and she's strong and she thinks and feels that she has, she's going to the authorities. She's going to tell somebody, you know, of this violation. And you know, come forward in some way, form, or fashion. You know, and I find it very ironic that all of these women, you know, didn't say anything to authorities until, you know, 40, 50 years later, after the fact. Again, we have to look at the question of consent here, you know, for Mr. Cosby. I do not defend, you know, wrong acts or wrongdoing. But what's right is right, and what's real is real, you know, and that's certainly the bottom line. Now, do they stand to make millions of dollars from book deals and all this other kind of stuff, these talks and all the notoriety they're getting on the media and everything like that? Absolutely. They're going to make a whole lot of money on it. You know, they want Mr. Cosby to put up $100 million into some type of fund, you know, for battered and abused women and stuff like that. That's not a bad thing. You know, he can certainly donate that. He's got that kind of money and so forth and so on. You know, but let's keep it real. You know, let's call it what it is. And it boils down to the question of consent. Were they consenting adults? And the answer to that would be, by the circumstances, yes. You know, by looking at the circumstantial aspect of it and them not reporting these alleged violations, you know, in a timely manner. Again, you got, the statute of limitation is 4 years. Certainly one of those women would have came, or two or five of them would have came forward with great energy and in some regard, in some way, you know, to catch this guy, to stop this guy, you know, from doing this to other women and stuff. But that certainly was not the case. So if it's, and when it boils down to the question of consent, then Bill Cosby is not guilty in that particular regard. So anyhow, that's it. Just is what it is. Let's see, do I have anything else on that? No, I don't think I do. But I, like I said, I hope this resonates out to the public and gets to the representatives from Mr. Cosby and the media and things of that nature, so we can just set it straight and call it for what it is. You see, now they're still gonna make money off the book deals and different things like that. You know, that's millions of dollars there. So, you know, we'll just see what happens in that regard. Okay, now let me go on to Iran, because it's interesting that the president and John Kerry can go and cut a deal with Iran. And first of all, folks, we got to understand, you know, the power. You know, the Iran is a war power. Okay, people don't really understand that Iran has a million man army that they could call up at any given time to defend the country of Iran and more. So it wouldn't be an overnight fight. You know, people think that we can just, send nuclear weapons over there and like this one guy I was talking to says, and turn into a sheet of ice. I mean, see the glass. Well, it's not that easy, you know. And again, like I say, if Netanyahu, who is a stink stirrer, you know, he stirs up the stink, you know, he could go over there and do it himself. He's got 400 and some nuclear weapons over there. I said we got 90 seconds, so love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do, simply because God is love. And it's capable of reaching Iran, and all of those weapons are capable of reaching Iran. I mean, he could literally, you know, as this guy would say, turn him into a sheet of glass himself, if that's what he wants to do. But he wants to go to America, get involved in all this kind of stuff, and as a result and consequence, we got these people like this guy, you know, going shooting these Marines and stuff like that. You know, who claims to be, and I'm kind of jumping subjects here, claims to be a deranged or a depressed, you know, individual or whatever. You know, heck, we all depressed. We all go through, you know, hard times and divorce and different things, you know, in life and stuff. So for him to kind of, you know, to fall back on that, that's nonsense. You know, this guy knew what he was doing. You know, he plotted out, he planned it, he carried it out. He knew exactly what he was doing. He's angry against the United States, as a lot of people are. A lot of countries, a lot of radicals. And we're going to get into the groove and to the crux and crannies about why that's the case, you know, over the years and stuff like that, and how we can, you know, turn these hatreds around. Mr. Obama and Mr. Kerry and people that are, you know, enlightened to an uncommon depth or magnitude understand about unraveling hatred. You know, years and years and years and years of hatred. I'm almost 100% certain that Congress, the American Congress, is upset because they could never, you know, cut that kind of deal, you know, the right or whatever the case, they could never cut that kind of deal with Iraq. You need a person like Mr. Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. They do not have him in that position for no reason or by happen chance. Folks, you got to really understand his purpose and why he is in the presidency of the United States right here and now. And look at the things that he has done in that particular region in terms of taking out dictators, implementing and putting certain strategies in place, and just a number of things that he's done in that region. And for him to go over there and cut such a deal with Iran, I think it has inflamed a lot of people because they weren't able to, you know, go in there or have Mr. Kerry go in there and cut such a deal of openness with the Iranian people. And quite honestly, folks, this is opening up a whole lot of monetary gain for the U.S. and for other countries throughout the world. Iran, if you can recall, now there was an incident back in, I think it was 2007. Let me see if I can pull it up. In 2011. Okay, now let me just read you this little caption right quick, because I want you to understand the difference of Iran in terms of a war power opposed to like Iraq or some other country in the world. You're dealing with some a war power that's pretty well educated and technologically, put in place. Now, this is called the Iran-U.S. RQ-170 incident. You can simply pull this up, or you can Google Iran captures U.S. spy plane, and it'll come up. But it reads here, on December 4th of 2011, an American Lockheed Martin, this is high-tech stuff here, folks. This is a bat-wing surveillance plane. The RQ-170 Sentinel unmanned aerial vehicle, the UAV, was captured by Iranian forces near the city of Kashmir, or Kashmir, near northeastern Iran. The Iranian government announced that the UAV was brought down by its cyber warfare unit, which commandeered the aircraft and safely landed it after initial reports from the Western news sources inaccurately claimed that it had been shot down. The United States government initially denied the claims, but later President Obama acknowledged that the drone aircraft was a U.S. drone, and he had requested Iran to return it, and they politely said, no, we're not returning nothing. All right, so now, they did this with very minimal damage. As a matter of fact, they did it with zero damage. And the way they did it was very impressive. Let's see here. Anyhow, it reads in this broadcast. I can't find it. I'm not going to look at it. But they used three different. Oh, here it is. American aeronautical engineers is pointing out that, as is the case with the MQ-1 Predator, the MQ-9 Raptor, the Tomahawk, GPS is not primary navigation for the shuttle. Oh well. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, they did this by fooling the GPS navigation system, and they blocked a couple other, systems. This saying is to say these folks are sophisticated when it comes to cyber warfare. Now, my concern is, do they have the capabilities of locking into our ICBMs, our missiles, and things of that nature, or our energy grids, and taking them down through their cyber warfare tactics and capabilities? We don't know the answer to that question. We say that we're strong. We thought that we were strong with this type of tech. This was our top technology, spy technology aircraft, the most encryption available, and they were able to crack the code, tricking it and so forth and so on, commandeering it and landing it and safely on the ground. So, we have to really look at, the deal cut. Sometimes there's an old saying in the hood that says, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. And this would certainly be the case in this particular regard. Like I said, Persia is a relatively peaceful nation, or Iran. But they're very smart people. And to take them on in a war, will we win the war? I do believe that we would, but it would take everything we got resource-wise, to do so. And I don't know if we're really ready to go down that path. Congress is always saying no, but they come with no solution, no resolution, or no ideas or whatever. So they need to really rethink the, their positioning on that and let this thing go on through so we can have some type of, being able to look inside and kind of see what's going on. Cuba, strategic partner, we need to have that place strategically located, right 90 miles off the coast of the United States. Doesn't make sense for them not to be a partner so that we can, have trade. And we got a lot of Cuban people in this country, good people. But, this kind of keeps others from, setting up a strategic base. And back in the days of the Cuban Missile Crisis, we certainly don't want to revisit that that scenario. So it makes sense to go ahead and go forward there. The Ku Klux Klan, there was an interesting article this weekend where an African-American police officer or sheriff deputy was helping a KKK member during the rally there in South Carolina. It was the Black Panthers, the modern-day Black Panthers versus the Ku Klux Klan. Folks, we can't let this guy, make this thing a reality, what he set out to do. In order to defeat this evil, we can't perpetuate this evil. Those folks were able to come forward and forgive him. This is the power of God, to step forward and to have this African-American deputy, help this Ku Klux Klan member during the rally and stuff like that. This is the power of God. These are the children of God, in motion. Like I say, we're here to, show mankind how to live and how to cohabitate and coexist. These are signs of that reality by these type of incidents that are taking place. So we have to support, God's word, God's will, and at any time and place that we can. And this is evidence of that taking place. The prison system, it needs to be reformed. I see that Mr. Obama is now hearing this message. He's reforming the prison system. Folks, we even just take the air conditioning out of the prison system, flip the switch on that throughout the country. When you go to prison, it's not to be comfortable. This country will save a whole lot of money right off the bat if we just cut the air conditioners off, in the prison systems. Not only that, but people would be less inclined to repeat offenders and go back, through that type of uncomfortable condition. Like I said before, when you talk about, going to prison in other countries, even less, developed or civilized, there's no walk through, it's nothing comfortable about it, and people just don't go back. Their societies are not, as chaotic and law-breaking, as they are in the United States here. Okay. There's a lot of jobs out there that Mr. Obama, has put out there and wants to come to pass. The infrastructure of the United States, along with and many other things that we could do here in this country, that Congress has not passed, will not look at in all of his presidency, trying to make, his presidency a failed, administration, a failed era. But he's already succeeded, what about the American people in that regard? If there's jobs out here that we need to do to, upgrade the country, upgrade the subsystems and the infrastructure and stuff like that, which jobs would be limitless, what's the problem with going forward with that? Making this a better nation. If you're truly patriotic and love this country, that should not be a hesitation. The Social Security issue about not letting Social Security receiving people buy guns and stuff, folks, that's just a smokescreen to get people to buy more guns like they did before. And Mr. Obama won't take the guns. That's not an issue, but it will certainly help to increase gun sales, which is revenue for the government, and massive revenue, I'll put it like that, for the government. So anyhow, that's our broadcast for today. Take care of one another. Love one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do, simply because God is love. Until the next broadcast, so long for now. Love.
insane, like